May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So we're looking at the resurrection, thinking about what happened to Jesus, how the church was born, the events that took place after the crucifixion, and the meetings that Jesus had with his disciples. Why was Jesus killed in the first place? He was killed because he challenged the power, the vested interest, the money of those people who were in authority in the church at the time. That's why Jesus was killed. He threatened their power base. And if you remember, he went into the temple and he turned over the tables of the money changers and threatened their livelihood. And so the chief priest and his family decided that Jesus had to go. That's why Jesus was killed. That's the practical reason why Jesus was killed. Not because he threatened Rome, but because he challenged the religious powers. And of course, no sooner had Jesus died than he was back with a vengeance and going round making very clear to people that he was resurrected from the dead. Some of them took some convincing. You remember Thomas, who said, I cannot believe until I touch Jesus myself and see him with my own eyes. But the disciples got the proof that they needed. They were convinced that Jesus was alive, and they went on to do amazing things. And of course, were those about whom Jesus spoke when he said, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. We believe because we're people of faith, and we hold that faith through times of blessing and adversity, through the highs and the lows of daily life in our hearts and our minds. But there are three things probably that I want to say about the resurrection this morning. And the first is just about the anger which existed towards Jesus by those religious authorities. I think if we can understand that, it helps us understand something about the resurrection and the significance of what took place. They hated Jesus. They hated him. That's why they decided that they wanted to murder him. And when Jesus came back from the dead, they would have done all that they possibly could to put down the stories that were going around about Jesus being alive. They would have done all that they could. And all they had to do was to produce a body. That's all that the Jewish leaders would have had to do. And immediately the whole resurrection thing would have been quashed. But of course, they couldn't. There was nothing they could do to quell the message that was being put about to all and sundry that Jesus was back from the dead. And I think that that's one of the convincing arguments about the resurrection, that there was nothing the authorities could do to put it down. They didn't want it to happen, but they couldn't quash it. And the second thing, I think, which is really significant, is that the disciples changed from being timid and fearless to going out and proclaiming this message. The faith in the risen Christ was stronger than any fear of the Jewish authorities. And they became incredibly energized. They'd seen Jesus killed in the most cruel manner, and yet they weren't intimidated or afraid to go out and say what had happened. Do you remember a few years ago, we went to see... And then he fell off the back of this thing. Do you remember a few years ago, we went to see the Passion of Christ as a church? Quite a few of us were around at the time. We went to see the Passion of Christ. And we came out, and we thought, good heavens above, why did we go and see that gruesome thing? I mean, we thought, yeah, we should have gone to see it, but, oh, it's, you know, it's not really what... It's horrible, really, seeing these whippings and all kinds of horrible things that went on. But we do well to remind ourselves that the disciples who saw all that, they endured equally horrific deaths. They went through some terrible, terrible kind of tortures and murders. And there's no more credible witness than someone who's prepared to die rather than change their testimony. These sort of people stand out, don't they? They say, well, they must mean it if they're prepared to die for it. And they were. And it's no wonder that it's said that the blood of these martyrs was the seed of the church. Jesus' resurrection was given validity by the fact that these people were prepared to die for what they believed. And Jesus went and was visible to those people who were prepared to see him and who loved him. He didn't appear to Caiaphas, he didn't appear to any of the Jewish leaders, but he appeared to those disciples who put their faith in him. And in a sense, it's the same today. Jesus doesn't appear to people like Richard Dawkins or militant atheists, but he does show up to those people who are prepared to put their faith in him. And Jesus, when he's resurrected, the third thing about Jesus' resurrection is how different his body is. How different his body is. And it's almost Star Trek-like. And I don't mean that in a flippant way. But I think it's very important for us to realise that when Jesus was raised, he didn't just come back from the dead. I mean, Lazarus had come back from the dead. That was nothing new. The disciples are very keen to make clear that when Jesus came back from the dead, it was qualitatively different than just him coming alive again. And they try to make this point. They say, you know, it was as if he was a ghost. But he wasn't. He ate. It was as if he was a spirit because he could come through the doors that were locked and appear with us. But he wasn't because we could touch and see the marks. But they're honest. The disciples are very honest. They don't pretend that it was just a physical body in the same way. That they're right up front. They say, look, it was different. He was different. So much so that we didn't recognize him at first. This Christ that they were prepared to die for, they knew wasn't just the same old Jesus. It was a different kind of Jesus who, you know, in Star Trek, they materialize, don't they? And they sort of, we say that, beam me up, Scotty. It's so long since I watched Star Trek, I'm trying to remember. But they used to say, beam me up, Scotty, didn't they? And you could materialize. I'm not being flippant, but that's the kind of Jesus that we have. A Jesus who isn't confined any longer by time or space. And we're going forward into the ascension shortly, and you'll see all those ridiculous, silly pictures of Jesus kind of floating up to heaven with his little feet hanging out the clouds, you know, as if Jesus was... You know, it isn't a physical Jesus in the same way anymore. It's different. Jesus is different. And yet, that different Jesus was the one whom the disciples were willing to lay down their lives for. And they change from being broken-hearted, disillusioned, fearful people into being incredibly brave. And they could not have been that brave if it were all some kind of illusion or concoction that they'd something that they dreamed up. It's dramatic. I mean, we had Peter be in our reading from Acts this morning. Peter was the man who denied Jesus when he was alive, when he was challenged. And that Peter so dramatically changed in such a short time. We read about Peter in Acts in that chapter. Peter is taken before the Sanhedrin and accused by Annas and Caiaphas and that family. They were a family. The high priest and his family. It's like the Godfather. You know, that's what it was like. Jesus being taken into this family of really incredibly powerful men who were murderers. These are the ones who had put Jesus to death in cold blood. And Peter changes from being the frightened Peter. He goes before the Sanhedrin and he speaks out powerfully to them. He challenges them. He doesn't hide and say that he's sorry anymore. He tells these killers that he acts in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the one that they crucified, but whom God had raised from the dead. This is what Peter says. And he's threatened. He's threatened by them. and they say, you must no longer mention Jesus. You can read this in Acts. The Sanhedrin say, you must not do this. You must not speak about Jesus. And Peter, the man who once said, I don't know him, says, who should we obey? Should we obey you or should we obey God? That's the transformation that's taken place in Peter's life. He says, we cannot stop from speaking about what we have seen and heard. That's the transformation that's taken place. And there we have it, really. The inability of these really powerful Jewish leaders, these killers, the inability of them to disprove the resurrection, the inability of them to close the mouths of those who wanted to speak about it, against the incredibly powerful testimony of men and women like Peter, who no longer cared whether the Jewish authorities killed them or not, because they'd seen that Jesus had conquered death itself. So we have this transformation, but there's something more than that I'll finish on. It's not just the transformation in the disciples. It's not just the inability of the authorities to quash this new movement. There's something else that takes place. Because this changed Jesus, this resurrected Jesus, this spiritual Jesus, isn't confined by physicality or the material world anymore. And we know this to be true. We know it to be true from the stoning of Stephen, which occurs just a little bit later on in the story of Acts. And he's the first Christian martyr. And Stephen also was arrested, a godly, godly man who spoke about Jesus. He was arrested and he was brought before the Sanhedrin too. And the charge was made that he was speaking of Jesus and against the temple. And when we say against the temple, what we mean is against their livelihoods. And they drag him forward and they accuse him. And they're furious when Stephen will not back down. So furious, we're told, that the Sanhedrin, the leaders, these Jewish leaders, this great family of priests, were told they gnashed their teeth in anger. That's how angry they were that they couldn't quash this resurrection story. We're told they gnashed their teeth in anger. And you could really forgive Stephen for being afraid, but we're told that he wasn't. We're told that in the face of the threats that were made against him, he said that he was in the presence of the risen Jesus. He said he was in the presence of the risen Jesus. Now, Jesus wasn't there, but Stephen felt that he was in the presence of Jesus. Stephen said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now, you probably remember those words. Those were the words which Jesus spoke when he was arrested and when he was asked by the high priest if he was the Christ. And Jesus told them that he was the Son of God. And he said to them, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. And Stephen throws this back in their faces and says, I see the risen Christ. It was the risen Christ who was with Stephen as we are. They yelled at the top of their voices, dragged him out of the city and stoned him to death. That's what they wanted to do, to kill off the witnesses of the resurrection. And we're told from that moment on, from having killed Stephen, the church, the Christian church in Jerusalem, was persecuted and the followers of Jesus were rounded up and arrested and put to death. The reason the church survived, it wasn't because they had a great mission action plan. It wasn't because they had a new Lent course that sort of energized them or anything like that. It was the presence of the risen Christ. That's why the church grew and survived. And it's the presence of the risen Christ which has enabled the church to go on through all of the problems that the church has had, the ups and downs, the times when the church has seen most powerful, it's perhaps been most corrupt. In spite of all of the problems that the church has gone through, it's the presence of the risen Christ which has sustained the church. And today, as we face all kinds of difficulties in a society where perhaps the church is seen to be going through issues and difficulties, the church will not fail because it is the presence of the risen Christ with you and I, who makes himself real in the breaking of the bread, in the meeting in our hearts and minds. It's that risen Christ who is with us here today, who changes us and who offers change and hope for the world. Amen. Mm-hmm.